Hello, hey Boomer listeners. I am your host, Wendy Green, and if it's Thursday, it must be Hey Boomer. Well, we are here rescheduled with Jim Lauderdale, and I'm very excited about that he was able to reschedule. But let me tell you first that my promise to all of you Hey Boomer listeners is that you are going to feel inspired in some way by every episode that we put out. You may feel inspired to recognize your own relevance, and you may feel inspired to recognize opportunities that are available to you in your 60s, 70s, 80s, even beyond. You may feel inspired by some of the educational content that we share, or you may feel inspired to recognize that inner peace and to accept where we are as we age and to find ways to live life to your fullest. Those are my promises to you as Hey Boomer listeners. And y'all, as I said, it is Thursday and we are live with Jim Lauderdale. And thank you to Jim for being so gracious to help us come live with him, because Facebook went down on Monday and we lost all access to the internet. And Jim and I were here and we were chatting and we thought we went live, and then we realized we did not. So he has like the most crazy schedule. You know, it's funny. I met Jim in Black Mountain this summer when he was first getting back on the road. And you could tell that he was excited to finally be out from the COVID lockdown. And now when I'm looking at his schedule, North Carolina, Kentucky, Florida, Texas, Washington State, Georgia, California, finally Tennessee, I'm wondering if he's really still as happy to be out on the road. But, you know, he's an entertainer, so I'm sure that he is. And tonight, he's actually in Tennessee. He's going to be on the Grand Ole Opry stage tonight, which is very exciting. And he made time in his day to see us. I also wanted to thank David Bell for bringing us together and introducing Jim and I and making this whole thing possible. I'm going to bring him on in a moment. But first, I just wanted to catch you all up since you didn't hear about the events from last weekend. The Hey Boomer team did the Alzheimer's Walk, and we raised almost $1,500 for Alzheimer's. The Alzheimer's Walk here in Greenville raised over $300,000. And that is a huge accomplishment. So thank you all for your help on that. Some of us also attended the March for Women's Lives, and I was very proud of the group of people that were out there. There was a very diverse group in ethnicities and in ages. There were children and people that had been marching, you know, 40, 50 years ago. So unfortunately, we still have to keep our eye on the ball. We still have to be vigilant to protect rights that we only got about 50 years ago. So I was really proud of everybody to be out there. Hi, everybody that has said hi. Also, you know people are going to love this show. So please share it with your friends. Sharing is caring. And let people know if they can't watch live, they can always catch the rerun on the Facebook page or on YouTube. And they can also subscribe on the website so that they get the reminder emails every Monday about the links where they can watch us live. We also put it all out on the podcast channels. So after today, it's going to be available on Spotify and Stitcher and Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. So listen, it's out there to the world. So, Jim, Are you ready to say, are you ready to say hello to the audience?
Shoot. Yes, I am. Hello, everybody. Darn it, Wendy, I was going to do this. Flash to me, I was going to go. If I'm asleep another few minutes, I did my homework. Oh, no. Must wake up. Have
must
podcast.
Wake up.
Must wake up.
Hi, but Jim.
Good morning. Afternoon. Hello.
Yes. Hello. And welcome to Hey Boomer.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. You have never been content to sit still as far as songwriting. You've written in bluegrass, you've written in country, you've written in rock, you've written your own songs, you've co-written songs. You are very diverse in your music tastes and production.
It's nothing, Wendy. Wendy, probably like a lot of your viewers and listeners out there, I grew up listening to a lot of different kinds of music. And so there was a time when I finally got my first record deal in my 30s, and it was a country record deal. And I thought, well, I'm going to have to just do country because I've got this. And then I went through various record deals and just kind of as things led me to this, I was just really able to do whatever I wanted.
Isn't
so
that
I'm
great?
That's what I'm still doing. So I enjoy singing a lot of different things and writing a lot of different styles and performing that. And these days, that's what they kind of have a name for that. They call it Americana because it is this great kind of umbrella title for really American roots music. And so that's pretty much what I've been doing for a while and really enjoy it.
So you started singing in church, if I understand.
Yes.
What made you decide that you wanted to go into the music business?
When I was 8, let's see, I either wanted to be an astronaut, a magician, the president, or a musician. And then as I went through school and was about to get out of the North Carolina School of the Arts, I thought, and I talked to one of my teachers, he was going, listen, you really should go into mime.
Into
mime. I was in a mime troupe in college and really enjoyed it and studied a lot. I love those Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin and all the kind of silent film guys. But it was music or mime. And I just kind of went, I decided to make the musical thing full time.
Well, I have to say, I am glad that you did because we'd have missed all your beautiful songs.
And I probably would have, my career as a mime, I don't know where I would have led, but I really did enjoy it a lot. And actually someday I'd love to do some kind of a show with some of my old teachers and fellow students or a one-man show or something and do that because I never got to do it. So it'd be fun.
Maybe you can integrate mime into your show somehow when other people are playing. You can do that.
I do at rehearsals.
Oh, do you?
Sessions, but,
and NASA didn't call, so that was kind of out.
Yeah.
So during COVID, Jim, you felt like we all felt like we needed some kind of inspiration. We needed some kind of hope. And so you named an album that and a song that, and tell us about how that album evolved.
You know, when I had been working on a country record for a while and just writing whatever came out, but that was, I was kind of focusing on that. And then when, and I'd been on the road a lot, that January and February and early March. And then when things kind of started shutting down, I, like so many people, just kind of felt lost for a while. I felt funny about writing. I felt funny about playing. It took me a while to kind of get back on my feet. And I realized I had a collection of songs I'd already recorded that didn't fit the country album, but kind of had this good positive theme. And then I started writing again and writing a few things. And I kind of, it really helps me to have the structure of some kind of a plan or a goal, as far as like, okay, I'm going to make a bluegrass record or soul record or whatever. Then the writing kind of starts happening. And so I thought, you know, I'd like to write something to help people through this time in some way or another, whether to soothe them a little bit or inspire them or calm them down. And so I went back in the studio several more times, and there's a school in Nashville at a fantastic studio complex called Blackbird Studios. And they also have a training school for engineers, and it's called the Blackbird Academy. And it's a 6-month program, a really great program. And so I had been recording there for the last several years and did a few records from that experience. And so I went back in, and they were being super careful. They had shut down for a while, but, you know, masks, and they would clean the studios every night, disinfect them and everything. So I felt, you know, we were all kind of, I think during that time, afraid about anything in some ways, about like, well, I'm going to the store, what if I touched something, you know, that kind of thing. But everybody through that process was fine. And I came at the end of the day, my co-producer, Jay Weaver, who's also a great bass player, we finished a record called Hope. And my manager, Jeremy Dillon, I said, and he was stuck in Australia during this time. He spends half of his time there and half in the U.S. And I said, I finished this record. I want to get it out like next week, you know, just, let's just stream it, whatever, you know. And he listened to it, and also the label I was with, Yep Rock Records, and based in North Carolina, I sent them the music too. And they both felt like, hey, you know what? We really like this. I think you ought to wait for a few months and just get it out as if it's a regular release. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a little stubborn, but it took me a little bit to kind of, you know, take their advice and realize that was a good idea. So luckily I did that. And so it finally came out at the end of July. It takes a while when you are going to release a record. There's a lot of elements that go into that, you know, a lot of preparation for things, you know, press, manufacturing, and everything.
Sure, yeah.
And they were, a strange thing is going on. There is a shortage now of lacquer for, if you're going to press a record, a vinyl, there is this huge shortage. So what may have taken 6 weeks to get manufactured now could take over a year.
Wow.
But I had made a connection in Asheville at a place called Citizen Vinyl, which was a new manufacturing plant. And they had agreed to, you know, I kind of gave them a vague idea for what I thought was going to be my country record. But anyway, they came through and everything came out as.
So there's a special song on that record that you wrote with one of your favorite co-writers who passed away, but was able to hear that song before he passed away. Is that right?
Yes,
can
that's
you tell
right.
us about that?
Yeah, it's a song. One of my favorite writers is named Robert Hunter, and he and Jerry Garcia wrote the bulk of the Grateful Dead catalog as we know it, those original songs. Most of those were written by Jerry and Robert, and I got connected with Robert about 1997. I was getting ready to do a bluegrass record with one of my heroes named Ralph Stanley.
Yes, I know.
Had around Ralph Stanley and the Clinch Mountain Boys. Mm-hmm. And so as I was writing for it and choosing older songs and things for the record, I thought, what have I got to lose? I will reach out through my friend Rob Bleetstein, who knows everything with the Grateful Dead. And so he connected us, and Robert was a huge fan of Ralph Stanley's. And so he started sending me lyrics. And so I recorded a few for that album. And then he came to Nashville for a while, and we wrote about 30 something songs. And then I did another record with Ralph, and we wrote a few for that. And so I started making, I think it was about 6 albums through those years that were, there were a couple of bluegrass things and a country rock kind of record and a blues type record, a solo acoustic, and of just songs that I wrote with Robert Hunter.
Yeah.
And then there's various records where I had one or two songs of our collaboration. Yeah. So he did, we wrote a song. Robert would either send me lyrics and I put a melody to them, or I'd send him a melody. And so he had sent that lyric from memory. And it, a lot of times with our co-writing, the song just came out automatically. If I saw the lyric, it would just be boom.
You'd hear the right music. Then.
But some of them I'd have to let marinate for a while. Mm-hmm. Speaking of marinating, I'm going to segue into a new spaghetti sauce I've got marketing. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, so that song memory took me a little while, but a melody came, and I was in the studio a few years ago and laid down a version of it and sent it to Robert and his wife, Maureen, and they really liked it.
It's a beautiful song. I don't think you can play it for us today, but right?
Well, I don't think so, because I think there's some not because of Robert, but
that.
I think
right.
but here's
the album.
Here is the album, and Robert's wife Maureen did the this cover. Great painting.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And she did the beautiful
songs on there. It is very hopeful, and
I would encourage
people to. Oh, isn't that pretty?
And there's an owl.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah,
but you can't play that song or songs from that album, but you can play a few other songs for us. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes.
I would love to hear a couple.
Sure. Here is a tune. Yeah. Yes, this is a private concert. So actually mute the, no, I'll let your audience go ahead and listen.
We can mime.
Yeah. But, here's one that a lot of people request a lot that I wrote with Robert. I am no stranger, I'm not your cousin. A relative from way, way out of town. Sure ain't no stranger, how's it going? Gonna send my lover down in buckets to the ground. Tales from the sad hotel I'll tell until the stars fall down. Nothing I'll settle for than all your love. I got a message for you, it's a token of. The peace that could rain down up above. Gonna send my loving down in buckets to the ground. Tales of the sad hotel I'll tell until the stars fall down. Baby of mine, oh baby, why can't you see? Your uptown circumstance is just a fantasy. From time to time, I'll stop on by to see. Gonna see my loving down in buckets to the ground. Tales of the sad hotel I'll tell until the stars fall down. This is forever, not some halfway place. Well, you can change your face and plan. Get away when things get out of hand. Gonna send my loving down in buckets to the ground. Tales of the sad hotel I'll tell until the stars fall down. Gonna send my loving down. Gonna send my loving down. Tales of the sad hotel I'll tell until the stars fall down. I am no stranger, I'm not your cousin. A relative from way, way out of town.
Woo, that was gorgeous. People are like, I love him already. His voice is so expressive. Love hearing the phrasing and accent of the music I grew up with. So heartfelt and beautiful.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before I get you to play another one, I want to ask you about that guitar.
Okay.
How long have you had that guitar? Because it certainly has been around a while.
Well, they have a saying about vintage guitars, meaning World War II, and they call them pre-war guitars. And this is a one of the latest or this guitar. It's from 1994, but scratches are from an all-night campfire jam at Spirit of the Suwannee Park in Florida about 1997 from snaps on my shirt that I had open, and I was just playing. I mean, we literally played till 8 in the morning. This is a Collings guitar, and it's handmade down near Austin, Texas, and it is it's modeled after a Martin D28 herringbone. It has these nice this nice pattern coming around the edges, and it's a Sitka spruce top and
it has rosewood been well back. Loved, Jim.
It has been well loved and well played.
Yeah.
And I call this guitar Coco.
Oh.
That's her name. It's Coco.
She has a name.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of requests that have come across for you, and you can only pick one.
Well, if one is, hey, get off.
I know.
Shush. And
one is a Whisper and the other is King of Broken Hearts.
Okay.
Would you like to play one of those?
Sure. Do we have time for one or two?
Let's start with one.
Okay.
And see how
I'll do this one first. This one is I have many musical heroes, and some of them were especially. I mentioned Robert Hunter and Jerry Garcia and Ralph Stanley. There's several, and there were two. One of them was a country singer named George Jones, who I really loved a lot. And the other one was a country singer and songwriter named Graham Parsons.
Yeah.
And he passed away in 1973. And George, not that long, gosh, it's time's going so fast. I think about eight years ago or something like that. That was me, everybody. That was
my cat.
That was the poltergeist in the house. This is not. But who gets jealous?
That was Pepper the cat. Boop.
But I moved out to Los Angeles, I think it was 1985. And one of the reasons why I did was to, and I lived there for about 8 years. But the music that came out of that area was so influential for me. And Graham Parsons was one of the most influential people. And so I wanted to kind of, just be in the atmosphere here.
Sure.
And so I was living at this place called the Magic Hotel in Hollywood. And, and I was reading a biography of Graham by a guy named Sid Griffin. And there was a story about how Graham had a party and he was playing George Jones's records. And he started crying and he said, "That's the King of Broken Hearts." And when I read it, this, which happens not that often, but when something just really hits you hard. And so most of this song came out, and then a little a few days later, I went out to the to Joshua Tree National Monument, and it was a full moon, and I was at this place called Cap Rock, where Graham used to go. So, and finished this song.
Great story.
The king whom broken hearts doesn't ask much from his friends, and he has quite a few of them. They know he will understand. It's just the way it goes. The king whom broken hearts doesn't know he's a king. He's trying to forget other things, like some old chilly scenes. He's walking through alone. He talks to angels and the stars start to spin. He thinks of troubles that he's gotten in. He recalls how his heart got broken, and now it's still that way. The king of broken hearts, he is so sad and wise. He can smile while he's crying inside. But we know he'll be brave tonight. 'Cause he's the king of broken hearts. He talks to angels and the stars start to spin. He thinks of troubles that he's gotten in. He recalls how his heart got broken, and now it's still that way. The king of broken hearts thinks that he's an old fool. He's a little bit like me and you. So what's a king like that supposed to do with all that blue time? We know he'll be brave tonight. 'Cause he's the king of broken hearts. He's the king of broken hearts.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
I loved the story of how you came to write that. And so I'm curious about your whole writing process. You mentioned with Robert Hunter, he wrote lyrics, you heard music. With this one, you kind of did them both. Is there the process or a way that you normally do this?
Well, when I write alone, a lot of times a melody will come first. And then I will either, sometimes a title will come at the same time or the first line. And then it just takes some time anywhere. Usually my songs take a while. There have only been a few, probably 15 or so songs that I've ever written that were like that,
really?
That I wrote by myself. And writing with other people, it's different with every co-writer because they, I did have some other co-writers that were mainly lyricists. There was a guy named Frank Dykus, and Clay Blake or some other people that would give me lyrics, and then I'd write a melody to that. And and Buddy Miller, my friend that I have a radio show with called the Buddy and Jim Show on Sirius XM on Channel 60. Outlaw it's called radio. The Buddy and Jim Show.
Yeah.
And Buddy would kind of, when we've written in the past, a lot of times he's given me a melody, and sometimes there's been a title with it or some lines. And so I've been the lyricist on some of that, which is kind of the opposite for me. And that takes longer, but he was always very patient with me during those. So it just kind of depends, you know, there's no real rules or anything with that, with co-writing or writing on your own. It's just kind of however the song comes out. And I feel, I was just last week at the International Bluegrass Music Association, IBMA is what they call it. And they have a big convention, and it was the week after the Americana convention, which they have here. I call them conventions. That's kind of the old school white conference, I should say. But I was part of a songwriting workshop there at IBMA, and I was just, you know, talking about how there's really no rules. And but oh, and with co-writing, it is we had a question about that, and the way I look at that, a lot of times when you get with somebody, you would not have written that song alone, probably. So it's great to get with another writer and both come up with something, and hopefully it's a very collaborative effort where, you know, it's kind of half and half, and sometimes some real magic can come out.
And 34 albums, you've written a lot of songs. Do you have a more in like that you haven't put out yet?
Yes. Yeah. I have an unfinished record in Memphis at Royal Studios, and it's more of a soul record. One thing I really loved as a kid was stuff from Stax and Motown and High Records, where Al Green recorded. And that's where Royal Studios is, where Al Green recorded, and the son of Al Green's producer, Willie Mitchell, Boo Mitchell, has been producing the stuff I do there, along with Luther Dickinson, who's a guitar player in a group called the North Mississippi All-Stars. And then I've got an unfinished record. I put out a record with two of my musical heroes, James Burton and Al Perkins, and some other great players that had played on Graham Parsons records. And so that, my friend Tim Coates, an engineer, we're going to get back to that and finish that. And I have some, the country record I was mentioning, and some other projects. I want to do some acoustic music projects for involving other, artists and bands. So hopefully next fall or something, some of those will be out. So
as I listen to your schedule and all that you're doing, and you know, you're in our boomer age group, and you know, I think one of the ways you stay grounded is Tai Chi, but that's a lot, Jim. What keeps you going? How do you stay grounded?
Well, you know, the grounding part is something it's still a work in progress. Because I definitely have my moments, like everybody, when something is not going right and very stressful, and I'm, you know, not dealing with it that well. And then I think to myself, hey, remember, you're supposed to be breathing and thinking about your center, and then it's like, oh, all right, not right now, but later. But
We did a little of that at the very beginning of the show, didn't
right.
we?
That's right, Wendy, because luckily you sent me a, I thought it was going to be an hour later. I was getting my Central and Eastern time, so I'm glad. That could have been a very uncentered moment.
Uncentered could have been, but we brought.
But you were very patient about that. And thank you.
We did.
And, but yeah, that's. But I do, in answer to your question, it's been kind of a hobby to do Tai Chi and Qigong, which is breathing exercises, real old forms of movement and breathing that started in China, some of them over 1,000 years ago. As far as the breathing stuff, Tai Chi is about 400 or 500 years old. And gosh, I'm starting to show my age as I talk about
you look
I'm remembering those as a kid when they were I recommend it, and I kind of tripled up during kind of the shutdowns and things of taking more online classes of Tai Chi and Qigong, and it really I recommend that to everybody because I think it's great exercise and great for your flexibility and stamina, endurance, and also to learn, for me, to learn new forms of movement on a regular basis, I think is really good for you. It's good for your brain.
It's and it keeps you flexible and healthy, and you breathe.
Yeah.
Jim, if you could play one more song for us, I'm going to share your website address on the screen. And so people can go there and download some of your music and purchase it and listen to Hope, which I recommend to everybody. But if you would mind playing one more song for us before I tell people about our guest for next Monday.
Sure. And also, yes, I guess the tour dates are on the website or on the Facebook page and all that, because I am starting tomorrow and Saturday and then the following weekend. And after that, really a lot during the winter, I will be out a lot solo or with an electric band that I have from Nashville. So yes, please, folks, come out. And thank you so much. Now you'll are we going to say goodbye now?
No, because I
play me out.
I still have to tell people who's coming next week.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And all right. Well, here's one. Excuse me. I wrote when I was living in Los Angeles, and this became my dad's favorite song. I see you over there, smiling at the way I stare. I make a wish that you would be near enough to hear me when I whisper, I think I love you. Whisper, I think I love you too. If I had a chance or two, I would make sure that you knew what's running through this heart of mine, in case you'd care to know. And so I'll whisper, I think
I love you. Whisper, I think I love you too. Oh, I just wanna tell you, I wish that you were mine. I'd love you so sweetly, be yours completely all the time. Maybe in our autumn days, when my hair has turned to gray, I will take you by the hand and pull you close to me. And then I'll whisper, I think I love you. Whisper, I think I love you too. I like to whisper.
What a treat to have you on the show.
Well, thank same you here, so Wendy. Much. Thank you.
Thank Thanks you so much. Okay, I have to catch my breath. Okay, so next week, very different show. My guest next week is Dr. Jason Karlowish. And Dr. Karlowish is a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. And he recently published a book called The Problem of Alzheimer's, How Science, Culture, and Politics Turned a Rare Disease into a Crisis and What We Can Do About It. Interesting title, right?
Yeah.
I heard him on Brené Brown's show, and I just was fascinated. I got the book, and like, it's an easy read. He's a great storyteller. So, and points out a lot of why we got to where we are today and problems with our healthcare system and, you know, all of that. So it should be a very interesting and informative conversation. So tune in for that. That's Monday. And just thank you all for coming today. Yeah. I know we were a little off days. So thank you all for coming. I know your time is valuable, and I so appreciate everybody turning out. Thank you, Jim.
And Wendy, thank you. And listen, I want to apologize to you and everybody for last Tuesday, or was it Monday? I accidentally hit that switch that shut down Facebook and all that stuff. I feel terrible. I'm really sorry.
NBC is going to be all over that.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, good luck tonight at the Grand Ole Opry.
Thank you.
Have fun. And my name is Wendy Green, and this has been Hey Boomer.